Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grenfell Tower Trust podcast. Today, we're talking to one of the co-founders, Nabil Shakir. Nabil, can you please introduce yourself?
Hi there. Good morning. My name is Nabil Shakir, and I'm the co-founder of Grenfell Tower Trust. I bereave, or shall I say, a next of kin who lost 6 family members. I'm also part of the dedicated steering group. I'm also part of the Memorial Commission and a few other bits and pieces I'm also a part of. It's a bit of a full-time thing, you know.
So you wear many hats?
Hats and hair wigs and everything else to go with, yeah.
Can you talk a bit about the kind of work that the Grenfell Tower Trust is involved in on a daily basis? What is it that you guys do to help support the families?
There is our needs, basically their needs, people's needs, is what we cater for and what we do. There is everything. There is nothing that we don't like not to do, and we want to do everything, and we try to do everything specifically to try and help each individual's person's needs. So whether it be from his immigration, you know, helping him there, whether it be for his housing problems, whether it be for whatever it is, domestic problems, family problems, we try and help wherever we can just to try and make it easier and better for the families, so they can get on.
And how have the needs of the families changed, if they have, in the last 6 years? Are they still the same needs, or have things changed for them?
It's changed. We've made their life a little bit lot easier than what it was, because we've helped them solve a lot of problems, helped stand by with them. And specifically, you know, through the long and strong and short of it, you know, we've stood by them and we really helped them. And we've also, you know, had taken them out on trips. So we've been really helpful and supportive to try and not only help solve their problems, but also to try and get them to interact with others, which is just as important. Because, as you may know, some families don't get on with other families, and we've seen some positive, very, very positive outcome where families have got to talk to each other, which I never thought could be possible, but we've seen it. We've seen it happen, and it's amazing that it has happened.
And can you speak about a bit more about what your plans are for the future of the Grenfell Tower Trust? What do you want to be to do in the next few years?
There is so much that needs to be done and will have to be done. You know, we have to keep looking out and supporting the immediate family and the survivors, and to try and help them to integrate with the community and get out, and so they can be self-dependent on themselves. But there is so much that needs to be done also, that you got the Memorial Commission, that what will be built in place of the tower, or around the tower, or for the tower, and who owns it. And then you got the justice side, who gets prosecuted or not. And then you got the changes that needs to be made, the legislations, the regulations, and everything else.
Can we? You mentioned the Memorial Commission. You mentioned a few things. Can we start at the Memorial Commission and its job? What its mandate is? Why it exists?
I'm a committee. I sit on the Memorial Commission as one of the community members, and is there to look at what will be built to have a fitting, long-lasting memorial that will be fitting to everybody's needs. And it's there for that reason.
What are some of the challenges that the Memorial Commission face in deciding what happens on the site of Grenfell Tower eventually?
There is lots of challenges which they're facing and what they're facing. But I think one of the biggest problems is that they've never, ever really looked into the next of kin. And the reason why I mentioned the next of kin is because it was never negotiated with them or discussed with them. It is them who represents the deceased of their loved ones. And you cannot talk to a bereaved and put them in the same spot, because there is an extended families, and the extended families don't represent the immediate family, the deceased of the immediate family, like the next of kin does. And it is his voice or their voice or that person's voice who is the next of kin to the deceased, which is very important. And they haven't really looked into exactly having a specific tailorship for them. They've just mixed them up amongst the brief. And this is where the Memorial Commission has gone wrong. And they need to make changes and make understanding of this. And it was never done in the early days, where I've had to challenge them and request that they make changes. And because you can't put my voice, who I represent, my family, and there's nobody else other than my siblings and myself, you know, amongst everybody else, extended family, yeah, on the same level. We need a separate voice, and it needs to be heard differently. You know, everybody's views are welcome, but the problem is my voice cannot be amongst everybody else's. It will be overshadowed. And if it's overshadowed, then why am I next of kin? Why am I their immediate family? It can't be like that. It has to be different. And this is where the Memorial Commission have gone wrong, and they need to understand and rectify this. And because they've laid it out wrong, there is a lot of mistakes that they've made, and it's very upsetting and worrying for them, for the deceased, because we are representing them, and if we can't get that right, how are we going to get anything, what's going to be built there, right?
Do you think that the Memorial Commission are listening to your concerns?
Now that there has been a new co-chair, Mr. Paul, Lord Paul.
I think you mean Lord Paul Boateng, Lord Boateng?
That's right, that's correct, Mr. Lord Paul Boateng. Because he's come in, we've had a discussion with him, and he seems to be listening, and we have to see where he's going to go and what's going to happen, and we'll judge it from there. You know, we're going to give everyone a chance. But beforehand, it was just like business as usual. Let's just get this in and out. And that's the worrying thing, you know. This can't be a tick exercise box. This has to be done properly, and it's very sensitive, and they have to look at the next of kin, immediate families being the priority, and they should have had the veto. So we are hoping that the ownership can be even given to the immediate families, the next of kin, and let them decide where it should go. You know, whether they want to put it in a trust, or they want to make their own trust, or whatever. Let the next of kin, immediate families decide. And it's for them, really, not for everybody else to be included. They've already made so many mistakes. I hope they can rectify and adjust and make amendments and changes.
What would you like to see in that space?
There are so many things I would like to see. I would like to see everyone's views. I think everyone's views is nice and important. But something has to be that it's a legacy that remembers the deceased, that remembers them in every way, that was not told about them, what was not told, what was not said. You know, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here where we are and doing what we are doing today. So everything has to be for them and about them. It's not about me, it's about them. And everybody must see and understand that this is about them, and what we do is about them will benefit everybody else, because we will always look at doing what's best for everybody, you know, and what will be decided will be the benefit for everybody. So, you know, like if there is a museum, for example, and within that museum you can have input everybody's ideas, whether you want garden of peace, for example, a waterfall, a pond, a garden, a tourist attraction, community centers where they can, nursery, whatever, everyone's idea can be put into it and added and made to something beautiful, which everyone can benefit and achieve. You know, there can be future funding for the community and events and support and for other people and local, and around the area. So, you know, it will leave something there for everybody to benefit.
So what is the Grenfell Tower Trust doing to ensure that all of these voices and all of these ideas are brought to the table?
Yeah, we're working with the families. We're working with the Memorial Commission. We're working with the government, RBKC, and everybody, the community, and the survivors, to ensure that we hear their voices, we hear what they want, and we also would like to see this happening and this change and this done, you know, and we welcome everyone's views, you know. It's not that you're irrelevant. No, they're not. It's not they're irrelevant. They are important, but the most important has to be that we talk about and they're never ever forgotten, the deceased, because it's all about them. They didn't choose to die. Their lives was taken away from them due to many people. So many people's actions, what they failed on and before, caused to their death, you know. We have to ensure that they will always be remembered in any and every way, so their grandchildren's 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 know who these people were.
I understand there's been talk about an archive project to kind of collaborate with the Memorial Commission. Do you know any more about that? Can you talk a bit more about that?
Yes, I believe there was some archive in the early days. You know, people left and recorded, left teddy bears, did paintings and on the walls and posters and pictures and stuck up, and it was taken down and everything, and it's all been stored and put aside. And all these footage and video clips and that has been preserved needs to be shown. And this is part of maybe something in the museum, you know, that tells that long-lasting, you know, what was happening, what was going on, you know, what really went on. It's a story. It's part of history. It's part of their life, which we cannot forget. You know, after they lost their lives, or there was in the Tower or whatever, this was what was going on the side of it, you know. People, the community, how they came together and worked beautifully, where the council and everyone was lost and scratching their head. You know, the community was working with getting clothes, getting water, supporting, helping, left, right and center. The council was just staring at them, looking at, what do we do? What can we do? Government asking, who, come on, please help us. What? Everybody was lost on the day, you know. But the community was amazing. You know, that is something we give credit to, and we will never disrespect and always be ever so grateful and thankful. Until today, we are very grateful and thankful because they worked in such harmony with nobody managing it, everyone just doing it naturally from their heart. And that's what you had to do. But it was so much and so hard for somebody organized, you know, to do it. It's unbelievable, you know.
So I wanna kind of ask a question. I know you work really, really hard, and you've been working really hard for the last almost 6 years. What does Nabil do to relax, to take care of himself, to look after his well-being? What do you do?
Oh, what do I do? I don't know. I haven't had the time to sit back and relax, you know, truthfully. Even when I'm on holiday, I'm still working and trying to get things sorted and done, simply because I can't just give it up. I can't stop. I can't give up for 1 minute or half a minute or second. It's always in my mind, even when I'm on holiday or when I'm away or whatever, that I know that I have to do this and get it out of the way and get it ready or get this planned or get this ready. It's continuous. I'm like 24/7 helping people. I will go out on the weekends, nighttime, dragging my children with me as well. So it's hard, you know, and
it's hard.
We haven't had the time to relax. I haven't had the time to. Just haven't had the time to relax. Some people will never ever believe it, never understand it, but that's the truth. And sometimes, you know, if I get the extra half an hour or 1 hour, you know, if I pinch a bit of sleep just by sleeping on the sofa, just nodding, that's the only time I get to, when I don't even know I'm relaxing, you know, or plan to relax, I just nod off, you know, and even in meetings sometimes.
How can people support the Grenfell Tower Trust? How can they find you? How can they come and work with you and support you in the work that you do?
Yeah. We have a website, you know, which we welcome donations, help, support, phoning us, whatever way you think you can benefit us, or however help or whatever support you can have, we always welcome it. You know, it can be anything. It doesn't have to be money. It doesn't, you know, the fact of, you know, just for the fact of, you know, like if you say, I'll clean up your office. I mean, that's more welcome to me. That's great. I mean, my health doesn't allow me to do it, but, you know, I welcome that, you know, and I'm very grateful. And whatever we can help back to give to you, we will always do that. You know, I think everyone has a skill and everyone is unique in themselves. They know what they're good at and, you know, they can help in any way and every way, you know. We welcome it anytime, everywhere.
Is there any anything else you'd like to say to the North Kensington community before we finish up?
I would like to say, you know, that I hope everyone is listening and they are supporting, totally behind us. They work with us because I guarantee you, yeah, what we do will benefit you, all of you. And we will do something that has never been done before, because where you have been let down, we will never let people down like that, because we know what happened to our families and we know how badly we was let down, and we know that we have to fight to ensure that where they failed our families, they won't fail anymore for everybody else. And we will ensure and fight that to get that justice and that change that needs to happen.
Nabil, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.